أكبر لا إله إلا الله
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون وقال سيدنا مصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم إن أصدق حديث كتاب الله وخير هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد فيقول الله تبارك وتعالى ولتكن منكم أمة يدعون إلى الخير ويأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر. Our brothers and sisters in Islam, our praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah for guidance and forgiveness and mercy. And we ask Him to give us courage when it comes to matters of religion. And we ask Allah that we not be hypocritical, or that we not waste our freedom in this country with frivolous things. Because the freedom that Muslims have in the United States of America is this freedom that's given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a very valuable thing to have, considering that Muslims in many countries don't have the same ability to change. Because it's all about change. That's the real value of freedom, is you can change yourself and you can also effectuate change. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, in this country, to a very great degree, you can effectuate change without force and without violence, just by the strength of your conviction and the strength of your action. And that right there is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm grateful that I'm able to speak during Khutbat al-Jum'ah without anyone standing over me or waiting outside the door. There might be somebody in here, I don't know. But without anyone telling me what I can or cannot say. Because many imams do not have that luxury. Some imams have to say a khutbah, it has to be certain things, and if you go outside of that, then you will be arrested. I remember giving, one time I was in a masjid in the Sudan, and there was this very sheikh who was one of my favorite shuyukh. The imam of the masjid, his name was Sheikh Hadia, but he had a very close friend who was a very big sheikh in the village far away, but he would come every once in a while and give real fiery khutbah, and his name was Sheikh Ataqlawi. And so he was giving a khutbah, very, very strong, and he was talking about the need to have Islam as the ruling law. And he said, after I give this khutbah, this is what he said during the khutbah, after I said this khutbah, I can see that I'm going to be put in jail. And I guess he saw some of the men, they called him a khabarat, in the audience. And lo and behold, when he finished the salat and he got up, man, they were right there. And they locked him up. He was arrested for his words. And alhamdulillah that, you know, we don't have, at least at this point, we don't have that. And when you have that freedom, it's important to use it wisely to address the issues. The most important issues that need to be addressed within the Muslim Ummah are our own internal issues. It's not the issues of what people are doing and what they're doing to us, and they don't like us and they don't listen to us. That's not the most important issue. The most important issues of Muslims in America and in other places is dealing with our own ills. Because we have been led into a path of a delusion and a path of denial. I remember years ago when we started talking about racism within the Muslim Ummah, people were like, what are you talking about, Imam? We had a seminar right in this masjid once. It was called dealing with racial and ethnic and religious differences within the Ummah. And the idea was to address why we are still, being that we live in the United States of America and we have grown accustomed and we have learned how to get along with everybody. People work with next to someone who not only he doesn't share your religious beliefs, he doesn't share your social beliefs. He may subscribe to things that we consider heinous in our faith, but we still work next to them. We still go to school. We interact every day. When we go into a Walmart, we don't say, okay, what kind of aqidah? What do you believe? Which madhhab are you following? No, we just give out the money. But then when it comes to Muslims, we find differences. So I thought that was something that needed to be addressed. And lo and behold, there were people in the audience who said, oh, that doesn't exist in Islam. I'm like, okay. So we've come forward with that. You know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about things that he considers praiseworthy within the Muslim Ummah, one of those, there's many, many characteristics of praiseworthiness in Islam, but one of those has to do with our idea about social change and social justice. That's why the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, Akbar jihad, kalimatul haq, under sultanin ja'ir. He says that the biggest type of jihad is to speak the truth in the presence of an unjust ruler. This is why the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, Man ra'a minkum munkira, falyughayyirhu biyadihi. وَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ. He says, whoever of you see that which is wrong, he should change it with his hand. This is the burden of a Muslim. That's the true burden. A true Muslim, it's not allowable to just stand on the sidelines all the time. You have to take a stance. So he said he should change it with his hand. And if he's unable to do that, then he should change it with his tongue. And if he is unable to do that, then he should hate it in his heart. And that is the weakest of faith. You know, I was doing some work for a university, a project that I'm still working on. And in the work, it was dealing with texts to be used to teach Muslims. And I'm writing and doing this and editing and so on. And I was really struggling with myself because people say, okay, Muslims are caught between two extremes in the modern age, even in the United States of America. We're caught between extremism, which is extremism is no good, especially violent extremism or force. We're caught. You have people, even within the United States of America, who who they're so dogmatic, they're so harsh, they're so unrelenting. They'll turn on you in a moment. You have people who won't even give you salams if you don't have a beard. Or won't pray behind you if you're not this, if you're not that. I went one day to some place for some business, and I don't have a long beard. I was talking about buying something from the brother, and the first thing he was talking about was my beard. He called me later on and apologized. But that's the extreme part. Then we're caught between laxity, where we don't pursue our obligations as Muslims when it comes to justice, when it comes to self-accountability, when it comes to speaking the truth, when it comes to changing the status quo in our own communities. And there's a balance. You have to be balanced. We're not too extreme, but we're not too lax. Ibn Qayyim said, Shaitan attacks people in these two ways, either by ifrat or tafriq. Ifrat and tafriq. One is, he encourages you to go overboard. Sometimes Muslims go overboard about things that the Prophet didn't go overboard with that thing. Sometimes Muslims get all riled up about pictures and photographs and holidays. And they draw marks of delineation. Oh, what, brother, you taking my picture? Stuck for the law, him. Oh, dude, just taking a picture, man. And sometimes we are very, very lax that we let things go within our own ranks that we know need to be addressed, but I don't want to say nothing, I ain't going to say nothing. Or we're concerned about how people may view us if we speak the truth. Because everybody wants to get ahead, and it's understandable. Nobody likes to address certain issues. I think racism is a big issue in the Muslim community. Big issue! It's without a doubt one of the major issues affecting Muslims in America is racial and ethnic and racial, ethnic, and religious sectarianism, without a doubt. That is a, but you're not really supposed to speak about that. But we have to look at what type of ummah, and this is how I got on this topic. Because in the work I was doing, one of the chapters that we were dealing with was a righteous ummah. So I'm like, okay, well, from the Quranic perspective, there are certain things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, are characteristics of a righteous ummah. So if people, this is my thinking, if we really start thinking about righteousness in the real sense and start thinking about the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have made mandatory on us, then we would find that we have a lot of ills within ourselves that needs to address. That's why Umar ibn Khattab, he said, Hasibu anfusakum qabla an tuhasabu. Call yourselves into account before you yourselves are called into account. And the whole idea of the risala of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, it wasn't for just calling people to Islam, it was also for purifying the hearts and the souls of the people who already have answered the message. That's why Allah says, هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِنْهُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. He says, it is He who has dispatched to an unlettered people. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, He's talking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا. It is He who has dispatched amongst the unlettered people a messenger. يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. He recites to them His verses. This is the function of the risala. It was a function of the Prophet ﷺ. He didn't didn't have a choice. He didn't say, listen, I don't want that verse to go down. I don't want to tell him that. He couldn't pick and choose what he wanted to deliver of the message because he was Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, in the hadith of Aisha, she said that anyone who tells you that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam withheld anything that Allah revealed to him, then that person is a liar. And then she said, if he were to withhold any verse, it would have been this verse. And she mentioned a verse in Surah Al-Ahzab. وَتُخْفِي فِي نَفْسِكَ مَا اللَّهُ مُبْدِي وَتَخْشَى النَّاسَ وَاللَّهُ أَحَقُّ أَن تَخْشَى. The verse was, you hold in yourself what Allah is going to eventually make manifest. And you fear the people. But Allah has more right that you fear Him. She said, if he were to hold back something, then that would be that verse, because that verse is kind of, you know, putting the Prophet ﷺ on blast. But the Prophet accepted that. He accepted his role. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. And he purifies that. The whole idea of the Prophet ﷺ was, when he saw something, hey, no, wait a minute, we have to address that. That's not good. No, we don't want you to do that. No, this is not good for you to do that. In fact, in fiqh, in Islamic jurisprudence, one of the principles in the foundations of Islamic jurisprudence, in the foundations of Islamic jurisprudence, is iqrar. Acquiescence. Meaning, iqrar al-rasul. The acquiescence of the Prophet of something. Meaning that, if something happened in the presence of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam, and he didn't say anything about it, then scholars would take his silence on that issue to mean it's okay. That is a rule in Islamic law. People use that, scholars use that to prove things in Islamic law. So and so and so happened, and the Prophet knew about it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't say anything, so it was permissible. So and so went down, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw it happen. He didn't say anything about it, that means it's permissible. And that rule goes over to the believers. This is why Muslims have to be socially active, and they have to be socially concerned about things that go wrong within our own communities. Because some of the things are civilizational issues for Muslims of today. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. He teaches them the book and wisdom. Hikmah here, to many scholars, means the sunnah. So it was expected. This is the thing. It's expected from Muslims to follow in the tradition of teaching self-accountability, speaking the truth, challenging the status quo, and making corrections with the ummah. That was the expectation from Allah. Not just from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, it was clearly the expectation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, "Inni taraktu fikum ma in tamassaktum bihima lam tudillu ba'di abada." He says, "I'm leaving you two things. That if you hold fast to these two things, you will never go astray after I'm going. Kitab Allah wa sunnati. The book of Allah and my sunnah." So the Prophet expected that from people. This is a deep civilizational issue within Muslim communities. How much, to what degree, are we willing to carry on that message. A lot of people think carry on the message means going someplace, bombing something, forcing somebody, we got to do the Sharia. No! The first aspect of carrying on that message is to carry it on within yourself. That you yourself as an individual, or as a community, or as a jama'ah, or as an ummah, that we're carrying on this tradition. And this is where I think many of us have fallen short. We've given up the mantle. But you have to go back again and look at what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expect from the ummah. Not only what he expects from individuals, he expects them to make prayer, pay zakat, fast Ramadan, make hajj if you're able. But there's certain things he expects from the ummah. That's why he says, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. Let there be amongst you a group of people, يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ, who call to all that is good, وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and they enjoin the good, وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And in another verse he said, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرُ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. He says, you are the best nation extracted for other people. I mean, you're a best use to the creation. When you enjoin the good and forbid the evil and believe in Allah. That is a difficult proposition. As I'm writing, I'm thinking, subhanAllah, because one of the things that bothers me about Muslims in America, about us in America, of course we don't want to be viewed as extremists, okay, everybody get that. You want everybody to like us, that's unrealistic. We don't want to be seen, nothing, you know, we want to make ourselves real quiet. Sometimes when you go in the store, everybody knows about that. You go in the store, you give salams to some other Muslims, they like, please don't give me salams. Because then people are going to think I'm a Muslim. Okay. That has to do with a deep-rooted self-hate, spiritual problem, spiritual illness. It needs to be addressed. It's not the biggest problem, but it's a big problem. People don't understand that that's a problem if this is how you feel. If you are a Muslim in America, in the United States of America, where there is same-sex marriage, and you still ashamed of somebody knowing you're a Muslim, then you got a serious problem. That's a serious spiritual, psychological problem. It is. People don't want to address that, but that is the truth. We only live through this world one time. We're only going to be here as a civilization one time. We're going to all pass. We're going to all be dead in our graves. And the question is going to be, what do we stand up for while we're here? Allah says, تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. He says, these are nations, they have already passed. They're going to get for what they did, they're going to get for the bad that they did, and you're going to get for what you do. But you won't be asked about that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to realize that there's a certain expectation from you, from us, from God, as a people on the planet Earth who are followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or people who say we believe in Allah, there's a certain expectation. And when a people spends generation after generation after generation ignoring those expectations, then you have your consequences. You have your bad consequences. The law says, "Kuntum khayru ummatin ukhrijat lin-nas." You are the best ummah extracted for people. Why? Ta'muruna bil ma'ruf. You enjoin the good. You enjoin the good. We speak up. The problem is, we're very quick to speak up when it comes to what they're doing to us. They don't like the Muslims. They're attacking us. Whatever, okay. But we're very reluctant to speak up when it comes to challenging things within our own communities. And that's bad. That's a bad trait. That's not a good thing. Don't ever think that's a good thing. Because that shows your true mettle. That's why Allah says, "Atamuruna an-nasa bil birri wa tansawna anfusakum wa antum tatluna al-kitaba afala ta'qilun." Allah says, "Do you enjoin the people in righteousness but yet forget your own selves while you yourselves read the book? Don't you understand?" Now there's a method that you do that. You don't embarrass people. You don't call people shameful names. That's not what you do. You don't use violence. You don't use force. Personally, if a brother is spending time with me and he's engaging in certain things that I consider, that is considered by religion to be prohibited, I'm going to say something. Yeah, you might. Yeah, okay, whatever. But anyway, but that ain't cool, huh? And I expect the same that he would do that to me, and some people do. I love people to do that. Amen. That's not, you need to check your behavior. Well, just act like that. Thank you, my friend. You're it. But that's what Allah expects of the Muslim. In Surah Luqman, "Ya baniya, aqim as-salata wa'mur bil ma'rufi wanha 'anil munkar wasbir 'ala ma asabak inna dhalika min 'azm al-umur." Luqman said to his son, "Oh my son, establish prayer, enjoin the good, forbid the evil, and be patient with what will happen to you." It's always expected of Muslims to do that. In Surah Yasin, here's what, all the prophets had to do that. Musa didn't want to go back into Egypt to confront Pharaoh. And he said, "Well, khawfun an yaqtulun." And I'm thinking, and I'm afraid, Allah, they're going to kill me. That ain't no lightweight thing. Allah, I think if I go back up to Egypt, you know there's a warrant out for me, they might kill me. But he still had to go. He still had to deliver it. Because that's a divine expectation of people who say they believe in God, to stand up for something, to stand up and be witnesses. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talks about the ummah of Muhammad, he say, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. He said, and in this way, we have made you, talking about us, a righteous ummah. We made you a righteous, a balanced ummah, a balanced group of people, a balanced nation. لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. He says, so you can be bearers of witnesses over the people. That's the deep part. That's the deep part, because when you come out and you say, we're bearing witness, of course, people will look at, well, what about you? That means a two-edged sword now for you, because in order for Muslims, any Muslim, to stand up and accept this fundamental function that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects of us as Muslims living on the planet Earth today, and he expected it from every nation that came before us, the same expectations. In order to accept that expectation of being bearers of witness, you're putting yourself out there big time. Because you're saying, I'm bearing witness. I'm bearing witness for God. You're putting yourself out there. Because the first question people are going to ask, well, what about you? What about you? You're bearing witness over us. You need to check your own house too. And that forces the Muslim into really being spiritually mature, which is what we're really afraid of, spiritual maturity. We're afraid of spiritual maturity because it forces the Muslims as a group and individually to not only you have to stand up and be right, but you have to also accept that you may have flaws yourself, and therefore you have to address your own flaws too. Now the reward for that is great. It's a sacrifice. Even in Surah Yasin, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent messengers to the village, وَدْرُبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلْ أَصْحَابِ الْقَرْيَةِ إِذْ جَاءَهُمَ الْمُرْسَلُونَ إِذْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهِمْ اثْنَيْنِ فَكَذَّبُوهُمَا. Allah says, and draw forth the example for them, the people of the village, when messengers came to them. Verily we sent two, and they rejected them both. So we strengthened the two with a third. And they said, we are messengers of God to you. This is a true story in Surah Yasin. And it encapsulates the responsibility of believing people to bear witness. And after they bear witness, they have to also address themselves. In this surah, Allah says, وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى. He says, and a man came running from the edge of the city. I mean, this man, his name was Habib al-Najjar, by the way. Habib the carpenter. And he heard people started talking. These messengers are in this village and they're inviting to God and they're prohibiting people from worshiping idols. So he heard there's some messengers talking this and that. So he came running. But جَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى. And a man came running from the edge of the city. And he said, يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. He said, oh my people, follow these messengers and what they're saying. Now this dude wasn't known for preaching and nothing like that before. But he saw that the message of God has come. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him that, man, the message has come. I need to be on the right side of this message. So he said, Ya qawmi, ittabi'u al-mursaleen, ittabi'u man la yas'alukum ajra, wa hum muhtadun. He said, follow these people who are not asking you for anything. They're right, they themselves are rightly guided. Then he said, and this is the catch, he said, وَمَالِيَ ألا أعبد الذي فطرني وإليه ترجعون أأتخذ من دونه آلهة إن يرد الرحمن بضر لا تغني عني شفاعتهم ولا ينقذون إني إذا لفي ضلال مبين إني آمنت بربكم فاسمعوا some deep stuff. You have to read this conversation. You know, I'm very, very big advocate on reading scripture. I believe Muslims should read Quran, try to understand it, study it. I believe that that's what we should do. I strongly believe that. But Allah is talking about this man, Habib al-Najjar. He came running from the edge of the city. He said, Ya qawmi ittabi'u al-mursaleen. Oh my people, follow these messengers. Ittabi'u man la yas'alukum ajra wa hum muhtadun. Follow the ones who are not asking for any reward and they themselves are rightly guided. Now, this is where he's starting. See, you see how he's bearing witness? You see how he's coming? Because the whole village is rejecting the messengers. The whole village. Everybody's rejecting the messengers. No, we don't want to hear that. No, get out of here. This guy, he could have even believed on his side. He said, I believe it. And I ain't going to say nothing. He could have did that. But he didn't. He chose to bear witness. See, that's heavy. He says, follow these messengers. Follow the ones who aren't asking for anything and they themselves are rightly guided. But now, this is his spiritual intuitiveness. And we have to be spiritually intuitive. If you're a Muslim, especially if you're educated, subhanAllah. You're reading, right? We need to be spiritually intuitive. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's popular. It's probably unpopular. We talked about Muslim liquor stores, boy. I got flagged for that. Hey, ma'am, you know. Yeah, I know liquor is haram, dude. Do you understand the problem with liquor in America? You think Muslims need to be selling liquor? Like, it's not a big deal? That's a big deal. But you have to be spiritually intuitive. And you have to be spiritually brave. That's the price. That's the price of being people of God. That's the cost. The reward is Jannah, but the cost of Jannah is a little high. It ain't for everybody. Jannah is not for everybody. In fact, for most people, not going to get it. Most people. But if you read this story, what did he say after he told the people to follow the messengers? He said, Wamaliya, and what about me? Allah a'budu alladhi fatarani wa ilayhi turja'u. He says, and this is so you have to, this is just fantastic. He told the people, and he's coming out by himself, bearing witness, follow these messengers. Like, what you talking about? Now tell me, follow these messengers. So before anybody had the chance to say, well, dude, you wasn't following the messengers. You was doing what we were doing. This is where the spiritual intuitiveness comes from. He preempted the criticism. And he said, وَمَا لِيَ أَلَّا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي. He says, and what about me? That I don't worship the one who has created me. وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجِعُونَ, and the one that all of you shall return to. Then he started to make even more sense of it. This is the beauty of this man. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses me with Jannah, or Allah give us all Jannah, I mean. One of the persons I would like to meet is Habib al-Najjar. Seriously. I've thought about that for years. But the man said, أَتَّخِذُ min dunihi aliha. So this is where the muhasabat nafs comes in. He's calling himself into account. He says, what about me? He says, now, أَتَّخِذُ مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَةً. Should I take other than Allah, other gods? إِن يَرِدْنِ الرَّحْمَنُ بِضُرٍّ. Because if the merciful one wanted harm to happen to me, this is him talking. لَا تُغْنِي عَنْهُمْ شَفَاعَتُهُمْ شَيْئًا. He says, they're interested in me. If Allah wants bad to happen to me, they can't intercede for me. He figured that out. See, this is a period of true enlightenment for Muslims, that if you say to yourself, hey, you know what? I'm going to practice what's right. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to stand up for right. I'm going to bear witness to what's right. Because if this person or that person, if Allah wanted something bad to happen to me, he can't stop. Dude, you can't stop that. Because we keep thinking that Allah is not in total control, and he really is. He in control. So this man, he's saying, if the Rahman wanted harm to happen to me, their intercession won't help me at all. Nor they can help save me. They can't save me from Allah. And this is what you have. This is the true standard of moral enlightenment for a civilization. To understand that the one who's controlling our dunya and our akhirah is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why, like I said before, if you look at some of the turmoil going on in the Muslim world, people say that's because, you know, the international bank, and no, I don't think that's what it's from. I think it's because we've dropped the responsibility of being standards of justice. That's what I believe. I believe as long as you still have tribalism, nepotism, racism in the Muslim world, Allah is going to keep on sending punishment. That's what I believe. If you're not going to be just, if there's no justice, then Allah is going to extract punishment because he expects from the Ummah of Islam to be just. So this man said, "Inni idhan lafi dalalin mubin." Meaning, if I continue to worship these gods with y'all, because he was, you know, doing whatever else was doing, I would be in manifest error and falsehood. And then the coup de grace, he said to the messengers, "Inni amantu bi rabbikum." I believed in your Lord. Like everybody, I believe in your Lord. Listen to me. And he's telling everybody else, "Fasma'un." Listen to me. Right? He bore witness. He the only one. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when he did that, what happened after that, because now he came out. Before he was talking, yeah, what about me? Then he said, okay, I believe in your Lord. Listen, everybody. That's heavy. He pulled a Abu Dhar al-Ghaffari on him. Now, I have time to tell you the story of Abu Dhar al-Ghaffari. He pulled one of those similar. Matter of fact, Abu Dhar, we don't know if he had read the Surah Yasin. He said, I'm going to pull one of those. Because he did the same thing when he took a shahada. The Prophet said, you ain't got to tell anybody. Just keep it between. You know, because right now we're dealing with a lot of opposition. Abu Dhar said, okay, Ya Rasulullah. I'll keep it to myself. And he left. He couldn't help himself. He went right there to the Kaaba. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And they beat him up. Then he got better. He had to recover. Then he said, listen, man. We know you're Muslim. You don't have to tell everybody. Because right now, they're attacking Muslims in Mecca. Just make your way home. And He said, okay, okay, all right. And he went out and he threw the ballot. He said, I don't know if he did it again. That's a long story. So this man, Habib al-Najjar, he said, Inni amantu li rabbikum fasma'un. I believe in your Lord. Listen to me. After that, they came and they converged on him. And they started beating him up and stomping him with their feet to the degree that they did kill him. They killed him. He died for bearing witness. And alhamdulillah, and most of us, we don't have to die for bearing witness. We may get a negative Facebook post at the most. But he died for that. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they beat him up so bad that his insides, his intestines, showing, laying out on the ground. That's a lot of stomping. So he was dead because he bore witness. He bore witness and then he addressed himself and he died for it. So the next thing that he heard, Allah says, and then it was said to him, enter paradise. Qala, la ya layta qawmi ya'lamun bima ghafara li rabbi wa ja'alani min al-mukramin. He says, no, because you died like that. That's heavy. You died because you're standing up for the truth, because you bore witness. You weren't being violent. You weren't trying to hurt anybody. You didn't ask anybody for no money. You wasn't doing anything deceptive, but you put yourself out there because that's what's expected from a Muslim who's safe. He wasn't even safe and he did it. And then you have Muslims who are safe but still, I'm not going to say no. And you're, but he put himself out there and they killed him. And of course, when you die in that sort of manner, standing up for the truth, you're really not dead. You die and you immediately, because for the shaheed, for the martyr in this manner, there is no standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. There's no judgment, there's no hisab, there's no qiyamah, there's nothing but Jannah. So after they killed him, the next thing he heard was the angel saying, okay, go into Jannah. Just imagine that. It was said to him, enter paradise. And the first thing he could think of, he says, yeah, later, call me ya'lamu. If my people only knew how my Lord has forgiven me and made me amongst the honored one. And the point of the matter, brothers and sisters, is that when you stand up, I'm not talking about violence, I'm not talking about harshness, I'm not talking about anything illegal, I'm just talking about standing up to what we believe as Muslims, including standing up to our own wrongs in our own communities, our own inconsistencies with the message. When you do that, then you are placed in the position of honor with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Allah says you are the best ummah extracted to people, because you enjoin the good and you forbid the evil. So this is how Allah looks at not only the ummah of Islam, but individual Muslims. He's looking at Muhammad, he's looking at Yusuf, he's looking at Ahmed, he's looking at Ibrahim, Yaqub. He's looking at Javed. He's looking at Yahya. He's looking at Aisha. He's looking at all of us. He's looking at Luqman. He's looking at everybody to see, okay, I've given you freedom. Many of you I've given you decent living. In comparison, To us, hardship means no cable. To some people, hardship means no legs and no water. Thus, hardship means my car, or my, I need some work on my car. To others, hardship means I need a new kidney. So when you're given all that, and you're free, and you're safe and secure, and you don't stand up, and you don't bear witness, I would suspect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not be pleased with that. That's why, brothers and sisters, we have to stand witness, bear witness, and move into being a righteous ummah to the best of our ability. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'ir al-muslimina min kulli dhanbin wa astaghfiru innahu huwal ghafur. الحمد لله رب العالمين. Our brothers and sisters in Islam, my advice is to have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, O you who believe, اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منا والأموات وألف بين قلوبنا واجعل في قلوبنا الإيمان والحكمة برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. ونصلي ونسلم ونبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل وإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله عظيما يذكركم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقيم الصلاة يرحمكم.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الصلاة.